Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A couple of comments and then right to our questions. As always, the number to dial, as you just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. I was reading the forum in USA Today this morning, and I thought it was a pretty interesting piece written by Mark Pinsky, who was a former religion writer for the Orlando Sentinel and Los Angeles Times, writes a piece called The Truth About Evangelicals That You Won't Hear in Left-Wing Quarters. And he points out in this piece that all too often left-wing Jews focus on marginal figures such as John Hagee. And he says, I'm as left-wing a Democrat as they come, but he sticks up for evangelicals, and ironically, because he's saying evangelicals are now fairly mainstream. After all, most of them accept some form of evolution. How interesting that is, when evolution itself is not particularly enlightened, although Harvard scientist Ernst Mayr, of course, once categorized it as the most fundamental of all intellectual revolutions in the history of mankind, and Sir Julian Huxley called it the most powerful and the most comprehensive idea that has ever arisen on Earth. He said the 20th century could not be comprehended apart from the intellectual revolution it produced. Unfortunately, this is a quote-unquote intellectual revolution devoid of reason. And as a result of that, you had people like the 18th century Scottish empiricist philosopher David Hume, who rendered blacks naturally inferior to the whites. Negroes, he said, never discovered any symptoms of ingenuity. While one of them might at first appear erudite, in the end, he is only like a parrot who speaks a few words plainly. Well, is that a marginal figure, or is that kind of what the theory supposes? Well, Charles Darwin reasoned inequality to be a self-evident truth, and therefore he subtitled his magnum opus, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. As he put it elsewhere, the more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence, looking to the world at no very distant date, an endless number of lower races will have been eliminated by the higher civilized races throughout the world. Incredibly, Darwin had an apologist. In fact, he has an apologist, Richard Dawkins, who has cleverly attempted to absolve his exemplar from overt racism. So what does Dawkins say? He says, well, there's a misunderstanding of the Darwinian struggle for existence as a struggle between groups of individuals, the so-called group selection fallacy. And that fallacy is unfortunately not confined to Hitlerian racism. It constantly resurfaces in amateur misinterpretations of Darwinism. And he says even among some professional biologists who should know better. Of course, this is clearly sleight of hand, and it would be humorous if it was not so pathetic. One need only read the corpus of Darwin's work to recognize that his preservation of favored races in the struggle for life hypothesis clearly involves races, not merely individuals within races. In The Descent of Man, for example, Darwin says at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. At the same time, the anthropomorphous, or the most human-looking apes, will no doubt be exterminated. It went on to say the break will then be rendered wider, for it will intervene between man in a more civilized state, as we may hope, than the Caucasian and some ape as low as a baboon, instead of as at present between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla. Unless we suppose that this is a mere prejudice of 19th century scientists, consider the pseudoscience of eugenics. I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? It wasn't until the ghastly reality of eugenics reached full bloom and the genocidal mania of German death camps that it quietly vanished into the night. After World War II, very few institutions or even individuals would own up to their insidious belief in eugenics. And nor did the cultural elite ever acknowledge the obvious connection between eugenics and evolution. Thankfully, eugenics has at least faded into the shadowy recesses of history, but the tragic consequences of that evolutionary scheme are yet with us today. The point, of course, is that ideas have consequences, and evolution has birthed its fair share of aberrations, and I think it is a tragic day when people like Pinsky now laud evangelicals because they believe in evolution. Perish the thought. It flies in the face of evidence. One of those evidences is a part and parcel of our September appeal. It's titled Metamorphosis. And this is one of those DVDs that is a must, because once you see it, you will know explicitly and implicitly that evolution is a fairy tale for adults. It simply flies in the face of all extant evidence today. There simply is no basis for believing that nothing created everything, that ultimately you have life arising from non-life, and the life that arises from non-life produces morals. All of the evidence points in a different direction, and again, the September appeal, Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, is a DVD you just have to see. It doesn't preach, necessarily, but it does convert. If anyone believes in the religion of evolutionism and all of its tragic consequences, watching this DVD once will dispose them of that benighted notion. Again, Metamorphosis, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift this month. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also access it via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Of course, Metamorphosis makes a great Christmas gift. Should order multiple copies for family members and friends. It is an absolutely sterling production. We can thank our friends at Illustrious Media for doing just a splendid job of putting a resource into our hands that will inoculate our young people against the dangerous consequences of the evolutionary paradigm. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, we'll talk to James. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Mississippi. Hi, James.
How are you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Fine. I wanted to note that the Old Testament saints believe in heaven, or did they believe that they would spend eternity in Sheol?
Sheol. Yeah, Sheol is the Hebrew word for the abode of the dead. But if you look at Daniel, for example, you'll see the same words that Jesus echoed Daniel chapter 12, which point to the fact that there is clearly an afterlife after death. So the Jewish prophet Daniel made that explicit in his teachings. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. You know, the earliest book of the Bible, arguably the book of Job, makes the same claim. Job knows that he will struggle in this life, but in the end, his flesh would see resurrection. So the idea of the abode of the dead, Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades in the New Testament, does not preclude the notion, as Jesus said, a time is coming when all who in the graves will come out. Some will rise to eternal life, and some will rise to eternal contempt.
Okay, well, so the Old Testament says, like, the promised land, it wasn't it for them. You know, that wasn't the place. I mean, they was looking for Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's right. It was an earnest to it. It is paradise restored, and that's what you have at the very beginning, starting in Genesis chapter 3, where you find the proto-evangel, which is to say that you already have the rudimentary elements of an unfolding plan of redemption through types and shadows that ultimately comes to fruition through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus ultimately do? Jesus points us to a new Jerusalem, a new order of things in which there be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your answer, and thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call, James. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Don. He's listening on the web in Indiana. Hi, Don.
Hi. Hi, Hank. Hi, this is about a question about Jesus when he was baptizing. He said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or in another part, it says, were they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ only?
Yeah, well, you're never baptized by a formula. You're always baptized by the God who reveals himself in Scripture. And who is the God who reveals himself in Scripture? He is the one God of the Hebrew Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He is the one God revealed in the New Testament. But also, he is the one God who reveals himself in three persons eternally distinct, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is never a function of a formula. The power is not in formulas, but in the heavenly physician to whom the act of baptism points. And therefore, it always points to the one God who saves us. Baptism is the first act of obedience, where you say, I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm going to take up my cross and daily follow him. So you are saying in baptism that you have realized that you are a sinner, you have repented from your sin, and you have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. You have received the Jesus Christ who has revealed the one true God to us as one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. So again, I don't think it's the formula that's paramount. What I think is paramount is that you understand the God who has condescended to reveal himself to us in Scripture. And I think that it is therefore right to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because we have been enlightened to who God is. Again, one God, Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and they are eternally distinct. And therefore, we should stray away from oneness Pentecostalism, because they have a fundamental error. The fundamental error is that Jesus is himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they do not hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. In fact, according to oneness, the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy. So what do? They want to reinvent God as a God that they can comprehend. What Trinitarians do is they say, no, we can't comprehend God. He's beyond our ken. But we can apprehend God because God has condescended to reveal what we can't comprehend. Now, what he has revealed to us is not a contradiction, but it is something that we can't fully comprehend. In fact, I would submit to you that even in eternity, we will not fully be able to comprehend the God who has revealed himself to us in Scripture. We will ever gain more and more insight into the majesty of his nature. And I should make one other point as we go to break, and that is Oneness Pentecostalism holds to a litany of legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula, with evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation. You can imagine that's placed tremendous socio-psychological pressure on adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues. Those who do not speak in tongues are, of course, thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man Show. Stay tuned for that.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, the beauty and design of butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is is the real meaning of 666. Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Throughout history, butterflies have fascinated artists and philosophers, scientists and school children with their profound beauty. In Metamorphosis, a spectacular documentary film from Illustra Media, you'll explore the mystery and magic of intelligently designed butterflies like never before. Through stunning photography, computer animation, and magnetic resonance imaging, Metamorphosis opens once hidden doors into every stage of a butterfly's life cycle. Filmed in the lush rainforests of Ecuador and Mexico's transvolcanic mountains, Metamorphosis is an unforgettable journey filled with the joys of discovery. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute this month, we'd like to send you Metamorphosis on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick heads up, I'm going to be at the Adrian Rogers Center for Biblical Teaching Conference, September 26th through the 28th in Memphis, Tennessee. You can check out the Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary to pre-register today. And to get information on that, just go to our website at equip.org. And then also, I'll be in Colorado, I believe, on October 2nd. More information about that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. The number is always to dial to get your questions answered on air. 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. Be taking your questions throughout the remainder of this hour. Next up is Ron. He's listening on Bot Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, man, you started the show off kind of intrigued me as a student of history talking about eugenics. And, you know, of course, everybody knows about, you know, Hitler's history with the Jews. And to even argue as far as if you're just going to add numbers, Stalin was much worse than what Hitler did to the peasants in Russia. But I think the one of the past century that has actually stole the show, if you're going to talk about things of that nature as far as killing a certain race, is Margaret Sanger and her foundation of the Negro Project and what ended up turning into Planned Parenthood. If you look through the statistics of the Center for Disease Control, what the leading causes of African Americans has been over the last several generations, abortion is right up there at the top with every disease that you can think of. And in New York City, it's the leading cause of death. I think it's over the top six other causes naturally of death in New York City. Abortion is number one. And you know, we never hear those things about what she was behind that. She was trying to eliminate the black race, Planned Parenthood, and now they just continually cater. You know, they're in the minority communities, and the black community doesn't have any idea of the history behind that organization.
Yeah, let's talk about the prejudice of 19th century scientists and then what morphed into eugenics. What's going on with eugenics is this is an idea that the gene pool is being corrupted by the less fit genes of inferior people. And for evolution to succeed, it is as crucial that the unfit die as that the fittest survive. Because if the unfit survived indefinitely, they would continuously infect the fit with their less fit genes. And what is the result? It's that the more fit genes would be corrupted and evolution, of course, compromised. I like what Michael Crichton pointed out, that the theory of eugenics postulated that the best human beings were not breeding as rapidly as the inferior ones, the foreigners, the immigrants, the Jews, the degenerates, the unfit, the feeble-minded, and, of course, the plan then was to identify individuals who were feeble-minded. And as you point out, many foreigners, Jews, as well as blacks, were considered in that category. And then, of course, the goal was to stop them from breeding by isolation in institutions or by sterilization. And the logical progression from evolution to eugenics is hardly surprising. But what is breathtaking is that the vast rapidity by which a baseless theory is embraced by the cultural elite. And that might sound like just an empty statement, but the reality is this. Support ranged from President Theodore Roosevelt to the very person that you just named, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. And eugenics research was funded through philanthropies like Carnegie and Rockefeller, and then carried out at prestigious universities like Stanford, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. And that's not all. Legislation to address the concern posed by eugenics was passed in blue states ranging from New York to California, and it was even backed by the National Academy of Sciences and the American Medical Association. And those who resisted it were considered backward and ignorant. Margaret Sanger, as you point out, the birth mother of Planned Parenthood, embraced eugenics, and she was considered enlightened. And so were German scientists who gassed the feeble-minded. They were considered forward-thinking and progressive and were rewarded with grants from institutions like Rockefeller right up to the onset of World War II. So I think it's an important point to be made. And we did an article on Margaret Sanger in the Christian Research Journal just to underscore the tragedy that she birthed, not only with Planned Parenthood, but with her philosophy in general. She is a classic case in point that ideas have consequences. And the ghastly consequences of eugenics, unfortunately, have been beyond comprehension. Margaret Sanger actually said this: the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it. The kinds of statements made by people like this are so often forgotten, and we're forced to fund through public funding these horror institutions, and that's what they are. But again, remember that there's a basis for this, and unfortunately today, people are still trying to shove the evolutionary paradigm down our throats, and that's why, again, I am so pleased with our September appeal, Metamorphosis. You just got to see it to believe it. Until you see it, you won't believe it. It was interesting. I was at the Panthers game yesterday in the afternoon, and while we were sitting there, next my wife and some of the kids were sitting there, and I was, my wife was holding up the little program, you know, with all the players in it and so forth. And as she held it up, a butterfly landed on it right in the middle of the afternoon in the stadium. And she quickly handed the program to me. The butterfly stood there, posed for the picture. And she got a picture of me with the butterfly. We're going to see if we can put that in the newsletter or something in the near future. But it was pretty cool. I got to see this butterfly that was gratuitously beautiful. The markings on its wings, and to think about the metamorphosis that butterfly went through, in essence, being in a chrysalis as a caterpillar, when all of its significant body parts, as it were, devolved into this soup, molecular soup, and then out emerges, as if by magic, wings of a butterfly. And so much more. It is an absolute marvel. And to see all of this take place in such a film or DVD as Metamorphosis absolutely demonstrates, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that evolution is impossible and that we can only look to this kind of intelligent design on the basis of an intelligent creator, who has condescended to reveal himself to us in the majesty of Scripture. Let's go back to the phone. By the way, the DVD is available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tom. He's listening on the web in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Tom. Whoops. I guess Tom's not there. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Derek. He's listening in Modesto, California on KCIV. Hi, Derek.
I'm here. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Your question.
Yeah, I have a question. My question is, if you're if you have been an adulterer being married, like I was myself, I want to know if I can be, will God, if I remarry, does God okay that marriage, or am I to stay single for the rest of my life?
Well, first of all, I would make sure that you deal with this in the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, where you have someone that can look at the specifics of your circumstance rather than just an electronic voice that doesn't have all the details. So I think that's a very important principle. This is something that you want to make sure you get good counseling on. But in general, I would say this. The old is gone, the new has come, which is to say, I can't say for certain on the basis of Scripture that in your circumstance you have to remain single for the rest of your life. But again, I don't know all the details. The issue always is this. As a Christian, we always want reconciliation. Reconciliation, by principle, always demands that there is someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. And when that happens, reconciliation can take place. So if there's a possibility of reconciliation, that's the first order of business. That's the best. Reconciliation is a demonstration of God's grace to a watching world. So that's the first thing we seek. But if there's no possibility of reconciliation, perhaps death has occurred or the spouse has remarried someone else, then you have to make sure that you get good counseling so that what you do is based on the principles of marriage and divorce or remarriage and divorce as codified in the Scriptures. In fact, here's one of the things that I'd really recommend to you. There's an article we did in the Christian Research Journal on this very subject that gives you all the parameters and all the biblical prescriptions in this regard. I think it'd be extraordinarily helpful to you. If you hang on, I can send it out to you.
Yeah, that would be great. So let me just, and I was listening to you on the radio on there, and I really appreciate all the work that you do. So I want to give my respects to you and what you do for the Christian, for the broadcast. So as far as you're concerned, there is an opportunity that God will allow me to be blessed and be remarried.
Well, I don't know all the circumstances again, but I certainly wouldn't rule it out, and that's why I'm recommending that you read this article, because on the basis of this article, you can anticipate most of the circumstances that people go through. But I don't think that the article should suffice. You should also get counsel within a healthy, well-balanced church in your area. This shouldn't be a decision that's made unilaterally, and certainly not just based on an electronic soundbite.
Okay, yeah, because I've heard both ways. You can. I was the one that was cheated on. I was the one that was the bad guy, and that's what I was wondering, because in the Bible it says, from what I read, you can't. And that's why I'm confused.
Well, again, I don't know all the circumstances, but there are principles for divorce and remarriage that may apply in your circumstance, and they are communicated clearly in the article in the Christian Research Journal, which, if you hang on, I'll send out to you. Unfortunately, coming up to a station break, and I have to leave it at that. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. Translates 888-275-4265. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred Scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost. If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. In my book, Has God Spoken, I have a section on the abomination of desolation, which is pretty cool. Daniel prophesied about the abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Obviously, he was the prophet himself, 400 years ahead of time. Jesus said, when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, Jesus also prophesied an abomination of desolation 4 decades or 40 years before it took place. So the question now becomes, will there be a third temple and a 21st century abomination of desolation? Well, Zionist zeal threatens to light the fuse of Armageddon, but we can be absolutely certain that the prophecies of Daniel and Jesus already blaze as stars in the constellation of fulfilled prophecy, demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Those who fail to heed the analogy of faith, who fail to mind the Bible for all it's worth, stand in danger of opening the floodgates of iniquity by looking forward to the abomination that causes desolation, which has already come, and as I said, is ablaze as a star in the constellation of biblical prophecy, demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Has God Spoken, available right now for your gift to the ministry? Also, for those that give $100 or more, I'll personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Or, and this is really important because we need a lot of you to do this, if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I will personalize a copy of Has God Spoken to you. So again, please take an opportunity to join as a monthly giver. We need that foundation of solid support. Whether it's $15 a month or $50 a month or $100, whatever you can do. If you can become a faithfully monthly supporter, I'll send you Has God Spoken personalized as my way of saying thank you. Again, this is the third in a trilogy of great apologetic issues, and this is the foundational issue demonstrating that God has spoken. I mean, the Book of Mormon in recent years has been utterly discarded and discredited as a result of anthropology followed up by archaeology. What if the same had happened to the Bible? You'll find out that exactly the opposite is true. We can have absolute assurance that the Bible is a rock of Gibraltar. You can build your house, your foundation for time and for eternity on this rock of Gibraltar. Has God Spoken? Get in touch with what I just said on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or, as always, when you talk to our resource consultants via the phone, 888-7000, letter CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tom, listening on the web, Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Tom.
Hi, a longtime student of CRI. I've listened to your program for a long time. In the past couple of years, since I've been retired, we've been doing a lot more visiting of people in the church, people sick, and we go to a fairly mainstream Southern Baptist church, and we were real shocked at the number of people in their homes that watch Joyce Meyer. I know she's a very popular person, and I know that she's from the Word of Faith, and I know the pitfalls of that, and I've heard you commented on her a number of times, and so we've kind of warned people about her. And the last time, my wife was talking to a lady who had recommended a book to her granddaughter from her, and my wife says, well, you know, is it that bad? So she downloaded Joyce Meyer's book, read through it, didn't see anything out of the ordinary. I looked through Counterfeit Revival and Christianity in Crisis. There was not much about her there. However, I know that she believed that Jesus went to hell and had to pay for our sins in hell, but she doesn't say this in her books. And I don't know whether she still holds to this or whether she's been interviewed by CRI in the past few years. We just want to be able to correctly advise people on her ministry.
Yeah, well, first of all, she does continue to hold to the notion that unless you believe that Jesus Christ went to hell in your place, you have no hope of going to heaven. In other words, in her view, Jesus finishes the work of atonement in hell. But she's continually, as you point out, teaching Word of Faith theology, which has dangerous ramifications. And in the process, she does a lot of sleight of hand. And I'll give you an example of that by playing a clip. Here's Joyce Meyer, Marilyn Hickey style, telling people to speak to their checkbook.
I got fire in my belly tonight because I know that there's power in life in right words, that words are containers for power. And I don't care what kind of a mess you've got. I am begging you tonight to stop talking about it and start talking about what the Word says and what you can have. Make yourself a list. Do some work. Do some homework. Make sure you've got a scripture to back up every one of your confessions. We're not talking about some magic, goofy, you know, weird, new age thing. I'm talking about doing what the Bible says, calling those things that be not as though they are, prophesying to the dead dry bones in your life. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Maybe you need to get your checkbook out and say, oh, you checkbook, hear the word of the Lord. You are not going to stay empty all of your life. Oh, somebody says, well, this is just too weird for me. Well, then just stay broke. What you're doing's not working. You listen to me, checkbook. The first 10% of everything that goes into you is going to God's work, and you are going to be full to overflowing. And I am going to be blessed, and I am going to be a blessing.
There are as many problems in that clip by Joyce Meyer as there are words. And I will start with the last one first when she talks about the checkbook. It is true that we are to give, and that tithing is the training wheels to giving, to a life of free will giving. But there's also a perversion in what she's teaching, because we're never taught to give to get. Nor is there absolute assurance that by giving we're going to live a prosperous life. You can give and yet live a life of poverty. And poverty and piety are no way associated any more than riches and piety are associated. And then when she talks about the dry bones in Ezekiel 37 and somehow makes a correlation between that and the checkbook, she is using the text as a pretext for her own deluded communication. And I'll show you exactly how she does this. Earlier on in this clip, she says something, and I think it's really worth paying attention to. She talks about the scripture, how you got to back up every one of your confessions by scripture. She's right. You got to test all things in light of scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And then right after she says it, she does her little sleight of hand and sleight of mind. And most people, because they're not tuned into discernment, it washes over them and they don't realize that she's played a trick on them. Which is to say, when she says, quote, we're not talking about some magic, goofy, you know, weird New Age thing. I'm talking about doing what the Bible says, calling those things that be not as though they are, prophesying to the dead, dry bones in your life. Now, think about that for a moment. She's quoting Scripture there. So she says, we're talking about doing what Scripture says and what the Bible says, calling those things that be not as though they are. Now, she's quoting a biblical passage there. The passage is Romans 4:17. If you go to the passage, you will find that the Bible doesn't say what she says. It says, and most people don't know that, or they don't test what she says in light of Scripture, so they fall for the ruse. The Bible says nothing of the sort. The very passage that she references, again, Romans 4:17, clearly communicates that it is the God who gives life, not we, who are to call things that are not as though they were. So she now gives human beings the prerogative of God, a sleight of hand most people don't catch. Why don't they catch it? They don't know their Bibles. So here's what I would recommend. And this is not just with respect to Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen or any other prosperity preacher, John Hagee. What you have to do is test me as well. The Bible is the final court of arbitration. Find out if we are properly interpreting or dividing the word of truth, or if we're simply using the Bible as a pretext for a pet theory. The problem today, and unfortunately it is rampant, and it has caused a modern crisis in Christianity, and that is we have an ever-growing number of prosperity preachers. And I do deal with her significantly in my book, Christianity in Crisis. They're prosperity preachers ranging from Joyce Meyer to T.D. Jakes, convincing devotees that what happens in your life is a result of the words you speak. So if you're healthy and prosperous, words created that reality. Conversely, if your baby dies or if your spouse contracts cancer, you're the prime suspect. The moment you speak something out, you give birth to what they say. And they say it's a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. Now, we might buy into that, but these words are eerily similar to what New Thought practitioners tell us. We are attracting everything to ourselves. There's no exception. So now you get cancer. On top of the horror of having to deal with cancer, you have the guilt that you talked it into your life. Or you lose a child. On top of it, you have the guilt that you caused what happened to happen because of the words you speak or the thoughts you thought. This is New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. It's not Christianity. It's a perversion of Christianity. Again, I write about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Time has flown by. I'll be sitting here right 24 hours from now, right back in the same seat, same time, same place, answering your questions. Remember to dial tomorrow, 888-ASK-HANK. Be answering your questions on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. On today's broadcast, we've mentioned several resources that will help equip you to defend the faith. To order products or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy.
In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.